The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into NFL Live. Coming up on today's show, it's a busy one as always. DeAndre Hopkins, 6-game suspension for now. We'll tell you the latest on his hope to get that number reduced. And Tyreek Hill has a podcast and has said a lot so far this offseason. Again, making headlines about a quarterback he may have played with or is going to play with this upcoming season. We'll get you all caught up on that. And speaking of quarterbacks, last year's class loaded. We're going to dive deep onto these second-year quarterbacks. Trevor Lawrence, the number one overall pick. Mac Jones, the number one overall player from that group based off of last season. We're going to dive into all five first-rounders that all went in the top 15. And with that, we say hello. Welcome into NFL Live. Right here, Kimberly Martin, seated and in studio. Always great to have Kimberly here. We've got Teddy Bruschi and Rob Ninkovich, Team Patriots, in the house today. And we've got plenty to get to. But you know it's a big college football story when we are talking about it on NFL Live. As we have breaking news into NFL Live that Arch Manning, the number one overall player in the class of 2023, and of course, the nephew of NFL legends, Peyton and Eli Manning, the grandson of the great Arch Manning, has committed to the University of Texas. What a coup for head coach Steve Sarkisian, a player who has been on the recruiting radar for years. Still going to be a high school senior this upcoming season. He took to Twitter, his first ever tweet. Last I saw it was over 20,000 retweets. He is committed to the University of Texas. Hashtag hook 'em. All right, Teddy, what are your thoughts here on the next Manning up as Arch has stated his collegiate intentions?
Yeah, there's only one high school name and player that can lead off NFL Live. We're not talking NFL. We're not talking college yet. We're talking a high school player that is committed, and that's Arch Manning. Of course, from the Manning family, just football royalty. I mean, the world's a better place. The world's a better place when there's a Manning playing a quarterback somewhere. Will he get to the NFL? I don't know, but there are a couple guys in that picture right there that took some titles from Ninkovich and I, and I'm sure he'll do the same. So all I want to do really is wish Arch the best of luck at Texas. Hook 'em, buddy, and go have some fun.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's very exciting to see a young Manning coming up. And, me and Teddy, we have felt some pain from that Manning family. But, again, it's really cool to see. It's really cool to see a young Manning in the family that's coming into college. And guess what? We don't know where he's going to go. But he's got a good pedigree, and he's got some good DNA, that's for sure.
I got to be honest, I'm just shocked that our guys, our Patriot guys, they are big enough to say congrats, and they're happy to see another Manning take the next step, hopefully towards the NFL, because I've covered some Super Bowls with Eli and Peyton, and I've seen them win a couple, too.
There's like a Pavlovian reaction from Teddy when you say that name. Be careful around here, Kimberly. And by the way, not to look too far ahead, but what fun is it to just live in the present? If, and this is a big if, Arch Manning does in fact become the starting quarterback as a true freshman, the first road game currently scheduled for Texas in 2023 against Alabama, Nick Saban and the Crimson Tide. I am already making my plans for the fall of 2023. All right, now we get to the NFL. And as things stand, Cardinals wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins is suspended for the first 6 games of the 2022 NFL regular season. Previously, it didn't seem like that number had a chance to be reduced, but Hopkins spoke recently on his suspension and his desire that perhaps that number could dwindle.
You know, doing some research right now, so hopefully, you know, before the season starts, you know, maybe we can get the games down a little bit. But no, that wasn't on me. I'm a natural, pretty much a naturopathic kind of person, man. And what it was called Osterin, and it was 0.1% of it found in my system, which is, if you know what that is, you know, it's contamination, not something directly taken.
All right, so Kimberly, what's the latest on the suspension for D-Hop?
So I did some research, too, after hearing the comments, because back in May, DeAndre Hopkins had actually withdrawn his appeal for the 6-game suspension. I checked in, And from what I was told, there were no changes. No changes were anticipated between the team or the league as far as the suspension goes. So as far as we know, the 6-game suspension will be upheld. So his comments I found very interesting.
Okay, yeah, me as well. Kind of, I was sort of thinking to myself, I thought this story had already wrapped
right.
up, but
mm-hmm.
perhaps a little bit of life breathed into it. But Hopkins was also asked about his confidence in his team if they have to play without him for those first 6 games. Take a listen.
I've been good. Recovering, healing. Unfortunately, you know, I got to miss 6 games. But, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, the team will be ready, and I'll be ready when I'm up. I'm a competitor, so, you know, anytime I'm not on the field, you know, for me it's frustrating. But, it, you know, that's the NFL, next man up. So, you know, I have no doubt in those guys, that, you know, to win those 6 games until, I'm ready.
But how's this for a 3-game stretch to begin the NFL season? The Chiefs, the Raiders, the Rams. 3 teams who, of course, went to the playoffs last year, even though ESPN's Football Power Index feels as though those are kind of toss-up games. The back half of those first 6 games figure to be a little bit more favorable for the Cardinals, with games against the Panthers, Eagles, and Seahawks. Perhaps Carolina and Seattle, even on the road, could be winnable games there. Teddy, this is a tough schedule for the Cardinals coming out of the gates. How many of these games, I mean, can they win these games? How many can they win?
Yeah, Field, I'm with you. I mean, especially the first three, the Chiefs, Raiders, and Rams. I mean, those are three very good teams. They could start 0-3, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. And what this is going to do with D-Hop not being there, you'll have a quarterback, okay, that feels like he needs to do more. A quarterback like Kyler, if I got a receiver like D-Hop, I can have the confidence where he's going to be a certain place. I can put the ball there, and I'm just going to do it because I trust him. I'm telling you, here's the truth. Half the time, Kyler Murray can't see over the lineman either. So if D-Hop is open, he may not even know it, but you know he's supposed to be there, but the trust is there, so I'm going to throw it. So that's not there now. So do I trust the receivers that I have, even though I can't see maybe through the passing window? So now I have to do more, and I'm going to take off. So now the Superman cape comes on, and possibly Kyler Murray has to do more. And, well, maybe he'll take more hits because of it. And durability has been a question for Kyler Murray. So this is the whole thing. D-Hop, just a huge subtraction for a quarterback that desperately needs him.
Yeah, Teddy, that's right. I mean, 0-3 could easily be the start with the teams that they have to play. And you look at Kyler Murray in the games that he has not been with Hopkins, it hasn't been pretty. So with him, he's 8-2. Without him, he's 1-4. Again, when you don't have a go-to guy, you don't have somebody that you could just throw it up to, that's a problem. And we've seen him early in the season. He looks great. You see him in the first 2 months of the season. He's fresh. He's running around people. He's making people miss. He's running for touchdowns. But then November, December, he starts to slow down a little bit because those hits are adding up. He's getting beat up a little bit. He's not the biggest guy. He's not a big physical presence like a Josh Allen. So that could be an issue, especially in the first 6 weeks of the season, where he's going to have to put more on his shoulders and try and run more, scramble more. He's going to take more hits.
The interesting thing about this Kyler situation, beyond the DeAndre Hopkins, in the background is Kyler wanting to get paid. Mm. And the team has still not paid him. Cliff Kingsbury said they intend to, but as time goes on, people wonder, they'd be crazy not to. When I ask people around the league, they point to he's the option. He's the offense. If you don't have him on the field, this team's in trouble. So this season, without DeAndre Hopkins, who it seems like he's going to be suspended 6 games, without him, Kyler's going to be asked to do more. And is that not an incentive to pay Kyler? Is that not a reason for Kyler to say, hey, it is time to pay me, because you will be asking for a lot? So that debate about whether he's mature enough, whether he should get the money, some people feel like he shouldn't. But if they don't, what's the future in Arizona? That remains to be seen.
Yeah, speaking generally, if you have a quarterback that's good enough, you ought to pay that quarterback, but we shall see how things unfold there in the desert. You saw the updated depth chart, so no DeAndre Hopkins to begin the season, at least we think.
Right.
But Hollywood Brown, Kyler's former college teammate at Oklahoma, could be a very busy man coming out of the gates after being acquired via a trade on draft night from the Baltimore Ravens. Plenty more on the Cardinals throughout the offseason as we await a potential Kyler extension. But coming up, Gronk, he's retired, so that means Brady's going to be without one of his top targets. Is this going to be an issue for the Bucs this upcoming year? Hear why some of their former teammates don't necessarily think so. Plus, Justin Herbert is still looking to play in his first postseason. Could this be the year that he and the Chargers make it? Hear why Teddy thinks Herbert could have an MVP caliber season.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Here's the next UFC Fight Night, Saturday from the Apex in Las Vegas with our lightweight main event. The prelims start at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific on ESPN2, followed by the main card at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific on ESPN. Both are available on ESPN+, which you can get by going to ESPNplus.com or downloading the excellent ESPN app. Back here on NFL Live, and we've got Kimberly Martin in the studio. Let's get to some of our top stories of the week. Kimberly, let's begin with the latest on the Deshaun Watson situation.
Yeah, Field, last week, Deshaun Watson was telling a bunch of reporters and I that he wanted to clear his name. This week, he settled 20 of the 24 lawsuits that he is facing. That still leaves 4 lawsuits pending. Both Watson and the Browns hope that there will be some sort of resolution from the NFL standpoint some point soon. As far as a suspension, that remains to be seen what his punishment will be. Now, Commissioner Roger Goodell yesterday testified before Congress. In more than 2 hours, he spent answering questions about a variety of topics, including Commander's owner Dan Snyder. Roger Goodell did not defend the owner, but defended the $10 million fine that he, that the league put again, made Dan Snyder have to pay, but said that the Commanders have been in a better place with Dan Snyder taking a back seat. Okay, here's the big news, guys. Rob Gronkowski says he is retiring from football. Again, do we believe it? I don't know, but he says yes, this is it. So now the Bucs have to go on without Rob Gronkowski, the best tight end there ever was.
Certainly the most dominant is prime, that much I do believe. And of course, we've got a pair of Patriots on the show today. And Nick, I want to ask you if you have any great, memorable Gronk stories to share. And just a reminder, I'll say it quietly, this is a family network, so keep it PG.
Yeah, I mean, I have a good one. I'll actually just talk about that one. The rest of them I'll put in my book and let people read about it. But anyway, so early in my career when Gronk was drafted, obviously he was a high draft pick. He's a big guy. He's a strong guy. He's a great run blocker. As Teddy knows, we did a lot of one-on-ones. So offensive, defensive line, tight end, one-on-ones, outside linebackers, tight end, one-on-ones. And literally every day in training camp, we would just go at it. And when he was young and I was young, we were literally just killing each other, going after it really hard every single day. Well, then as we got older and our careers expanded and we were there about 5 or 6 years, you know, me and Rob would come together before camp and we'd be like, yo, let's make it sound good. Let's make it look good, but let's not hurt each other. And we'd go out there, we'd do one-on-ones. We'd be like, ugh, a lot of grunting, a lot of sound, you know, like we were really hurting each other, getting after it. And Bill would be over there twirling his whistle, right? And Bill would always stand like kind of looking and he'd look at us and go, what a pillow fight. You know, because he knew that we were in on it. Like we knew that we knew how to block. He knew how to block. I knew how to set the edge. We knew what we were good at. So let's just not, let's brother-in-law it a little bit. Let's make it look good because we still got to put on a show for everybody. But Bill be over there twirling his whistle, just looking at us like, come on, give me a break. You know, but at the end of the day, we saved a little bit for the regular season. Okay, we weren't trying to put it all out there in training camp.
Yeah, Nick, I never got to brother-in-law with Rob. I never played with Gronkowski, but we're both Arizona Wildcats, so I got a little taste of the Gronkowski energy when we were both coaches at the Arizona Spring Game, and you could just see the energy that Gronk brought to everyone once he walked out of the tunnel like that, and Gronk caught the football that was dropped like 500 feet up in the air, and he did this straight off the plane. Okay, straight off the plane, of course. Before he came out, we had to wait a little bit because he had a little bathroom break. But still, coming out, catching the ball, dropped out of a helicopter, boom, world record broken. Arizona Wildcats, everybody singing Bear Down Arizona. And I think I got a taste of what it's like to be with Gronkowski in the locker room. And that's a little piece that you're possibly missing here with the Buccaneers because, Nick, you know, the season is a grind. We use the word the grind. You need the guys that make the grind a party, maybe a fiesta, like Gronk does in that locker room. And that's that energy that'll be missed when it is getting hard and you've got a loss, but you've still got Gronkowski and that energy in there. So that little taste of that Gronkowski energy, it's just infectious. And there will be never another one that has just that effect on people's mentality to bring them joy and happiness as Rob Gronkowski.
Well, there's no metric to measure energy and what it brings to the locker room, but according to ESPN's Football Power Index, the Bucs have the fourth best chance to win the NFC based on talent. That's slightly behind the Rams, the Packers, and the Cowboys. They're going to be tested early, though, as the Bucs begin the season. The Cowboys, Saints, Packers, and Chiefs. Based on last season's record, that's the hardest four-game stretch to begin for any team this upcoming season. So, Teddy, you dove into it just a little bit there. But with Gronk out of the mix, you have the locker room considerations, but also the on-field impact. Does this take the Bucs out of a top of the NFC team type discussion?
You know, Phil, it still doesn't. A couple things have to happen, I believe, as the early months progress in September and October. You have to see if Cameron Brate can be capable and stay healthy. You have to see if Russell Gage can develop that trust with Tom Brady, because that's just the utmost importance with Tom. If he doesn't trust you, he won't throw you the ball. So if a couple things like that happen, I mean, they will still be there. I mean, and what happens when you're there, though, when you're in a game with the Rams and it's the playoffs, and those type of plays are different. Now Gronkowski's not there, but these type of players are the ones that are going to have to step up. But definitely the Bucs are still there and will compete for not only the NFC South but the NFC Championship.
Yeah, I agree with Teddy. The hardest part is going to be those go-to moments when they need a go-to guy in the red zone or in the playoffs. When Tom drops back, he has that comfort level knowing even if Rob is covered, I'm still going to put it in a spot where he'll go up and he'll get it. And he's that big of a guy, and he's been able to do that year in and year out. That's why he has such high production. And I think one thing that might be tough for him is finding a guy like Gronk that you can put in there for every down in every situation. When they're running the football, and we know they like to run the football, and Tom likes to set up the play action pass, Gronk is on the field on early downs, and he stays on the field for third down. So the hardest part for their offense now is going to maybe, who do we put in there in those running positions that we've trust in blocking, but then we also need a guy that can go out and catch a ball. So they're going to have to rotate guys or have some type of rotation where, as a defender, I could think back when we would look at keys on, okay, if this guy comes in, it's high probability run. When this guy comes in, high probability pass. So it's going to be a little bit harder for them to function the way that they were last year and the year before, but they'll be able to figure it out. You could add an extra heavy guy, extra offensive lineman in the running game. Yeah. But listen, Gronk, the guys like that don't grow on trees, so it's going to be tough to replace his talent.
Yeah, Nick and I, we're both friends with Rob, and we want to respect the decision of the retirement. And, you know, I totally respect that. Hey, you want to call it quits, you call it quits. The Buccaneers' bye week is week 11. Mm. If I were to look at that and say, is it possible? Everybody wants to know, does he mean it? I mean, Rosenhaus is already talking about, you know, if you got a call or anything like that. I think that's a date that can put the dangers of the regular season and the wear and tear on Rob Gronkowski's body he would avoid. And possibly, you know, you get the call then. But definitely, I respect the retirement. But, you know, there's just with the agent already putting that out there, Gronkowski, you'll be watching as the season comes to a close, especially around that bye week, Nick, if he's going to come back or not.
Think about that. You bypass training camp, the preseason entirely. You get to potentially sign back on for a playoff push. Gronk could be gaming the system if Teddy's forecast is on the money. Next on NFL Live, we're going to take a look at the quarterbacks who are entering their sophomore seasons in the league. Teddy and Nick are going to hand out some superlatives, find out who they think is the most and the least set up to succeed.
What is Title IX? Well, it's short for Title IX of the Education Amendments of 1972, a major piece of civil rights legislation that was passed 50 years ago this month. And its most monumental part, the part that cleared the way for equity for women and girl athletes at federally funded schools, are these 37 words. 37 words that changed the game forever.
No person in the United States shall, on the basis of sex, be excluded from participation in,
be denied the benefits of,
or be subjected to discrimination
under any education program
or activity,
receiving federal financial assistance.
Today marks the 50th anniversary of Title IX, the landmark legislation that prohibits sex-based discrimination in federally funded schools. The law dramatically altered the landscape of sports for women, and 50 years later, athletes like Serena Williams, leagues like the WNBA, legacies like the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team are part of everyday sports conversation. But as we celebrate, equality remains a work in progress. The story of Title IX is still being written. The next 50 years start now. So we're back here on NFL Live, and Adam Schefter. Schefty is here to answer all of our burning questions of the offseason. Schefty, the floor is yours.
Which second-year quarterbacks are ready to make the jump in their sophomore seasons? The 2021 draft class was hyped up for its quarterbacks. Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Mac Jones, and Justin Fields. And
Zach Wilson taking his lumps today.
I got to get better. You can't put us in bad situations.
Sometimes you're the pinata, and sometimes you're the stick.
But only Jones was named to last season's Pro Bowl, and now each is determined to show its franchise why he was drafted so high. Second NFL seasons typically are when some quarterbacks make noticeable jumps. See Burrow just last season.
With free agency, the Jags are making some moves.
Jacksonville opened its checkbook to protect and surround Lawrence with more offensive talent, such as Christian Kirk and Brandon Scherff. The Jets plucked plenty of talent in the draft, adding Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall, and now those teams, along with the Niners and Bears, need their young quarterbacks to play to the level of the spot in which they were drafted. The success of their season is riding on it.
Great stuff, as always, from Schefty. So, Teddy, I ask you this. Of those five quarterbacks, we could throw Davis Mills in there as well, who is under the most pressure?
Field, I'll go with Trevor. Number one overall pick, you got everything right now. Last year, it was just a disaster. You got that cleaned up. You got that swept under the rug, and you come out here with a coach in Doug Peterson, and like Adam was saying, so much talent that is around him. Now, I'm not saying you got to go out there win the Super Bowl, Trev, but you got to come out and show that this program is now in the right direction with the right coach, the right quarterback to be competitive in games. That might be just a victory for them all. It's just to be competitive in them, but Trevor Lawrence has to start to show why he got that number one overall pick.
He's got to bottle up his week 18 performance last year when he was magnificent and turn that into a positive second season. Nico, let me ask you this. Who's taking the biggest jump this year?
I'm going with Trey Lance, and you look at the team that's built around him and what he has on the roster, the tight end position, the offensive line, Debo, the things, they'll figure that out, trust me. But the things that he has around him, the defense, the head coach, the offensive line that they have there to put him in the right positions. I really think last year with the small sample size, I know he got banged up a little bit doing the platooning with Garoppolo. Now we all know that he's going to be the guy. I really think he's going to take a big jump forward this year, especially with the roster. They have a playoff roster. Now he just has to go out there and perform.
Yeah, Nick, we're talking about jumps, though. I don't know what Trey Lance is jumping from. I mean, he just basically did nothing last year. I mean, showed he had a couple of highlight plays, but that's why my answer is going to be Zach Wilson of the Jets. I mean, struggled last year, absolutely, but watching him as a defensive player towards the end of the year, you start to see if he's an error repeater, if he's making the same mistakes he made early in the year. And there were points as the year finishes where I'm watching him thinking, that's a decision he didn't make early on. So it's almost like coaching started to take effect. So add to him more offensive pieces, and all of a sudden, here you see them right here out of free agency and the draft. It's like, okay, Zach, you got everything you need. You had that developmental year. You got the same similar concepts for another season. He should develop, and he should take the biggest jump, in my opinion.
That's funny. I actually agree with Teddy on the biggest jump with Zach Wilson.
Two votes for Zach.
Yes, because I was there draft day. I was in Florham Park.
Okay.
I covered this team. This is the best Jets draft in the history of drafts.
And wow.
The excitement in the building, I'm telling you, I don't know how good the Jets will be, but Zach Wilson, from what he had last year, you talk about the three first-round picks that they got, plus the free agent additions. Zach Wilson, yeah. He's got to bring it.
Okay, so it sounds like Kimberly is saying that Zach Wilson is particularly well set up for success this year as Ninko's going through his extensive library. But let me ask you this. Who do you fit not bad at 40? I'll save that for a later portion of the show. Teddy, who do you believe is most set up for success in year two amongst these quarterbacks?
Man, Field, I'm going to go with my guy Mac over at the Patriots, and I just thought that they just fed him just enough over the course of last season to where, you know, it was a slow build. It was a slow build, of course. I mean, towards the end, the debacle in the playoffs with the Buffalo Bills, but you still got the playoff experience, so he knows what to expect now. He has the similar voices. Are you bringing Devontae Parker? I think Matt can also look to this year as, now I got some input too. And there's Patricia and Judge, however they work out the offensive play call duties. But Matt can say, fellas, I've been here now and I feel comfortable. I'm going to take a little bit more initiative because I know what they want here and I know what that guy Bill Belichick wants. So I think Matt is best set up for a good year too.
That is interesting. I'm actually surprised no one has said Trey Lance for most setup. When you think about this San Francisco 49ers team, there's a reason they felt good just adding Trey Lance to the mix, because this is a playoff team. We know that. We're not saying that about the Jets or the Jaguars or the Texans or the Bears. We are saying the 49ers are a potential playoff team, could get to the Super Bowl. Trey Lance has all the pieces offensively and defensively to be set up really nicely.
Especially if they can find some middle ground there with Deebo Samuel, whose trade request remains. All right, so let's go to the other side of this conversation, which is, which of these quarterbacks is least set up to succeed? Ninko, I believe you are doing the show today from Illinois, maybe in Chicago. Who's your pick?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in Chi-Town. I'm in my mom's basement, actually, and she's making meatloaf tonight. So the quarterback least set up to succeed is – he's right down the way. He's right down the way here in Lake Forest. It would have to be Justin Fields. You look at last year, that was a debacle. You look at having to hit the reset button with a new coaching staff, a new offense. He's going to be the guy, but who's going to protect him? What is this team going to be? I think that he's in a bad spot. I mean, he's going to be out there. He's going to have the helm. He's going to be the starting quarterback. But can he go out there and perform with the cast around him?
Yeah. Big time year ahead for the Chicago Bears, but certainly a retooling one under a new regime. Teddy, who has the most to prove this year as we get to our final question of this conversation?
Yeah, I love this field. I love how we can have different perspectives for the question, but the same answer, because I'm going to go Trey Lance of the Niners.
Ooh,
and
okay.
He has the one that's the most to prove, because you almost has to prove that your head coach and manager, your general manager, know how to evaluate quarterbacks. Red shirt year is over, bro. okay? The redshirt year is over. Now you got to go in and play. They got Jimmy Garoppolo still there, who's very, very capable, who's taken them to the playoff in one playoff game. So you got to show why you gave up all the draft capital and why they feel you should be the starter. I mean, because you're coming off a time, a very successful season. So definitely Trey Lance has a lot to prove, in my opinion.
Listen, if you're the number one overall pick and they, and your team goes out and they spend the amount of money and they bring in the free agents that you bring in and Trevor Lawrence doesn't ball this year, that's an issue. Mm. When you're the number one overall pick, you have to be the guy, not just for this year or next year, for the next 10 years. So I think that he has to prove to everybody that he was worth that pick. He wasn't just in a college with a ton of great receivers, which he was. So again, he's going to have to perform this year. It's going to be a half. It's going to have to be a big year for him.
You're wrong, Rob Gronkowski. Rob Ninkovich, sorry, got Gronk on the brain. So the answer is Trey Lance.
Hey.
He has the most to prove because Jacksonville took Trevor Lawrence. He was talked about like he could be the next Andrew Luck. Trey Lance, I said it before, this is a playoff team that the San Francisco 49ers have, a team that could be in the Super Bowl. He's got to bring it to him.
Okay, there you have it. Our five first-round quarterbacks from last year looking to make that second-year leap. Speaking of leaps, is this year that the Chargers make the leap into the playoffs? Kimberly thinks they have enough confidence to get them there, but is that all it takes in a loaded AFC West? We'll take a look after the break.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, time now for some Read and React, and we start with George Kittle, who appeared on the legendary Bussin' with the Boys podcast, hosted by Titans left tackle Tara Lewan and top free agent linebacker Will Compton. Kittle had this to say about Deebo Samuel, of course, recently requested a trade. Quote, "I know nothing. I haven't talked to John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan, or Deebo about it. All I know is that in hindsight, I would have paid Deebo three quarters of the way through the season, tried to do a contract in season for sure. Probably would have been cheaper. Something crazy could happen. I could be eating my words in 2 weeks, but the Niners have done every major contract, mine, Fred Warner's, the week before the season started. So my guess is within 3 weeks, we'll hear news of it, but I have no idea," end quote. All right, Kimberly, what's the latest on Deebo Samuel?
Well, George Kittle seems to know something because he's right. This is how they typically do their contracts. And as of right now, there's nothing new on the horizon. But John Lynch has said for months, we are not trading this man. He is too vital. So we expect this to get done this summer. And George Kittle's right. This is what they do. So be patient, 49ers fans.
I'm thinking lots and lots and lots of millions of dollars. That's what I'm thinking. That's my take on the Deebo Samuel contract situation. Speaking of lots of money, we go to the Jets, where rookie wideout Garrett Wilson touched on an age-old tradition, buying a big, expensive dinner for his veteran teammates. This on a recent appearance on the Outstanding Pivot podcast.
"They did tell me about the dinner. I got to take all the receivers to a dinner. That's going to be cool. I'm excited for that.
It's not going to be cool.
You know they're going to run that bill up, like $75,000?
"Oh, yeah, you mean like the Louis the 13th you're going to have to buy at the restaurant?"
They ain't doing me for $75K. I ain't going to fake it.
It's rookie dinner. It's all of y'all.
You the 10th pick of the draft, too. They know you got 20 guaranteed.
Wait, what you say rookie dinner is?
He thinks it's his decision.
That's so cute.
Nico, this never happened to you. This is classic, by the way.
Oh, he has no idea what's in store for him. He's so excited for the rookie dinner. But listen, I remember my rookie dinner, and thankfully we had Reggie Bush as the number two overall pick, and then we had Roman Harper in the second round. Then we had Jari Evans. So what we did as the Saints, the rookies, had to pay like tiered, like depending on how high your bonus was. This is when the bonuses were real big. Reggie, you know what I'm talking about. So anyway, Reggie had to pay the biggest chunk. I think I had to pay like $5,200. Was really, really painful for me to pay that. I was nervous. I don't even think my card went through. I think it canceled. Then I had to call the bank and say, no, yeah, like literally I'm like spending $5,200 at Morton's Steakhouse in New Orleans. So yes, it was painful, but it could have been worse. It could have been worse.
Yeah, Nick, I mean, I haven't heard of the 75K bills, but definitely 30K is something that I have seen and I maybe have helped contributed to just a little bit. But yes.
You know you did, Teddy. You know you did. You were coming out with bottles of wine.
Man, that luxury life that Teddy and veterans used to dine on, make those rookies pay. All right, let's move forward from veteran rookie wide receivers. Anything in between, having to pay a bunch of money. But we go instead to Justin Herbert, who has been one of the most productive quarterbacks in NFL history through his first two NFL seasons. Far from a finished product, though. And while Herbert has generated plenty of praise for his on-field ability, his coach, Brandon Staley, is seeing improved intangibles. Staley saying this to SI.com about Herbert's progress, quote, "I see him around his teammates and those connections he's made going on his third season. Just with new players, brand new players to our team, and being comfortable doing that, and the connections he makes with people around our team who aren't players. I see him making tremendous progress that way, leading our team. I thought he led fantastically last year, but I see a better Justin that way." Hey, let me ask you a question about Justin Herbert, and we're hearing about the stuff he's doing as a leader, but how much better as a player can this guy be?
Yeah, Phil, I think this guy can have an MVP season. Mm-hmm. And if I can comment on what Brandon Staley's talking about, he's talking about Herbert and how he is helping other people do their jobs on the field. You just can't do that, quarterback especially, that position, until you know your job and you know it well. So once you feel comfortable in your own shoes, in the huddle, in the offense, that's when the great quarterbacks then expand their leadership over to, now I gotta help getting this young guy right here, I gotta help this tight end, I gotta help this running back that doesn't know what he's doing. So hearing that gives me even more confidence about what Justin Herbert can be, because what the Los Angeles Chargers have to be, they have to get out of the little brother mode, because if they don't break through this year and do something special in that division, the Raiders already bounced them out of the playoffs last year. You got the Chiefs in there, the Broncos have Russell Wilson, they could pass you up, and all of a sudden, you're the little brother and considered it the way we used to consider the New York Jets. So that's what you don't want. Mm. So Justin Herbert's got to be the leader of that change.
Yeah, and piggybacking off of what Teddy is saying, I really think that MVP, if he can be in the 40 touchdown, 10 interception or less club, which he can do that, I really do think that he can make that jump, because the defensive side of the ball, I think the Chargers, you look at what they have, defensively, if they can improve and they can get the ball back to the offense and give Justin more opportunities, sky's the limit for what they can do offensively. We know that. But last year, they struggled getting off the field in rundown situations. People were running the football all over them. And when you lose the time of possession battle, your offense literally has to score on every possession. So if they're able to get the ball more, have time of possession on more on their side, well, guess what? The quarterback's going to have an even better year, and I think that they have the opportunity to put themselves in a great spot to not be the little brother.
Kimberly, I think we got a taste of this from Brandon Staley's quotes, but how much confidence is there in that building in Justin Herbert?
Field, let me tell you a little story about the mistake I made last year.
Okay.
Week 13, Bengals were going to host the Chargers, and I talked to Derwin James, their safety, about Justin Herbert, and I said, this kid, your quarterback, he's great. But, you know, I just doesn't have enough swag. Like, he just doesn't have that kind of attitude. And Derwin said, excuse me, do not say that about my quarterback. He has swag. And you know what happened 2 days later? The Chargers beat up on the Bengals 41-22, I believe.
Yeah.
And after the game, I spoke to Derwin James on camera, and he said, how you like us now? How you like my QB? And that was last year. This is a team that is poised. The offseason moves they've made, they have loved this kid from the beginning, but he has all the intangibles, all the tools that you want in a QB that could take you not only to the playoffs, but to a Super Bowl.
Expectations are high in Los Angeles. That AFC West is literally must-see TV this upcoming season. I was going to say off-season because I feel like we've been in it for so long. Football's getting close.
We have.
It's almost time. Hey, you know, Tyreek Hill's podcast, it needed to be said, has at least one of our analysts asking, does it need to be said? Stay tuned to find out if all this talk is putting too much pressure on Tua. The 76th annual NBA draft is tonight from Barclays Center in Brooklyn. Barring a trade, the Magic have the first pick, followed by Oklahoma City and Houston. Our ESPN draft experts project Jabari Smith, Chet Holmgren, and Paolo Banchero as the top three players, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app. Our coverage starts at 7:30 on ESPN, right after SportsCenter. I'm praying for a few Woj bombs.
Mahomes over the middle. Caught Tyreek Hill at the 45. Angling right 40. 35. Cheetah. 25. 20. 15. 10. 5. Touchdown.
Breaking news happened within the last half hour. Tyreek Hill leaving Kansas City, headed to Miami.
Tua or Patrick Mahomes? Obviously, like I'm going to go with 1-5 as the strongest arm. As far as accuracy wise, I'm going with Tua all day. I want it to hit me right in the bread basket, just like I did in the Buffalo Bills game and take it 70.
I'm surprised a little. I mean, I'm sure it had something to do with trying to get his podcast some stuff and get it rolling. You kind of let other people talk about who's the best and all that different type of stuff. You just want to go out there and win football games at the end of the day.
You see, Patrick Mahomes hasn't figured out, because while all these comparisons have been taking place between Tua and Patrick Mahomes, Mahomes recognizes that Tyreek Hill's got a new podcast, and he's just trying to climb those Apple Podcasts and Spotify charts. So while Tyreek Hill was previously assertive in his stance that Tua was the more accurate quarterback, he seemed to kind of soften it in a most latest episode of It Needed to Be Said.
Like, we all know Patrick Mahomes is great. We know that.
Right.
We know that.
He's great.
Right. You know, but right now I'm going into a new season with a new quarterback who's trying to head in the same direction as Patrick.
Right.
You know, and do great things and lead this team to a Super Bowl championship.
Right.
You know?
So, who's also great.
Who's also great in my opinion.
He just
in my opinion.
He just doesn't have the accolades behind
he
it.
He just doesn't have the accolades of yet.
Right.
So, you know, I believe in him.
Kimberly, by the way, a great podcast host in her own right. Let me ask you, how much added pressure do these comments put on Tua?
And he didn't need to say anything. Do you see how he's backpedaling right now? Listen, I get what Tyreek was trying to do. He's in a new system. He's happy about, he wants his new quarterback, his young quarterback to feel good. I get it. However, anytime you mention somebody like Tua, who has, like he said, he does not have the accolades. We don't even know if Tua will finish the season as their starter or be their starter next year. They have an opportunity for him to take the reins and do that, to get them to the playoffs, but he hasn't done any of that. So Tyreek Hill unwittingly is putting more pressure on a young quarterback who came into the season where there are no more excuses. This is a franchise that got rid of the head coach, did not draft Justin Herbert, picked Tua, and that have revamped their roster to give him every reason to win. So now he has to do it.
Yeah, I'm still, guys, just trying to understand the players on the podcast type of thing. It's like, why do we all need a podcast?
Hey,
if I'm a head coach, I'm like, fellas, just stay away from two words. Is it podcast, two words? Whatever. Podcast. Stay away from the podcast. Because, Nick, these guys get comfortable and they just start talking. And all of a sudden, you pump the brakes. You hear the backpedal. Tyreek Hill. I understand what he was trying to do, Nink, but I mean, just it looks comfy too. You got the couches, you got the headphones and everything, but the podcast, we got to stay away from these.
Can we pump the hype brakes on Tua, please? I know, like, listen,
yes,
Tyreek just got paid, he's in Miami, I know that's his quarterback, but we need to see Tua play in a full season. I mean, I'm talking like, can we play 17 games? Can we not miss a handful of games because of some type of injury or something going on? So first, he's got to play a full season. And the accolades and the comparison between him and Patrick Mahomes, I mean, come on. It's not even close. But anyway, I understand it's his teammate. He's trying to pump him up, but let's pump the brakes a little bit on the hype. Let's pump it. Let's just see him play. That's all I want to see. Let's see him play. But that's it. That's
okay,
all I
so
got.
So we're tapping the brakes a little bit on the hype train here for Tua. Understood. Get a step. But Teddy, just quick counterpoint. We got about 30 seconds here before we move on. What is it that Tua does well that can make him difficult to defend?
Just real quick here at Field. I mean, within the, I'd say the first couple games, dude, show that you got some Mahomes in you. Throw it deep, all right? Show these defenses, yes, I got Tyreek Hill, I got Waddle, I know what I need to do, and just throw it and let them get it. Because once they do, and if he completes that early and it's on film, oh, now these defenses will be like, now he's got it figured out because you know he's got the accuracy in the short game. That way.
Huge year ahead for Tua. We've got time for one-ish more things, and let's go to the Patriots, who announced they're bringing back their classic throwback uniforms. They were red for select games in 2022, and the video was fantastic. A Back to the Future style video on their social media accounts. We had two Patriots on the show, of course. They had the honor of wearing these. Teddy, start with you. What's your favorite memory from these red uniforms?
Making plays and winning games in these red uniforms.
Field.
I got the same helmet. Look at this. I got the helmet right here on that pick six. This is the very same helmet right there. And I would put this on right now, but this hair don't mess around. I'm not going to do it. That's why. Bam. Let's go, Reds.
Hey, nothing like a walk-off sack fumble recovery to end the game against the Jets and the throwbacks. It's like I love it. I love the throwbacks. I'm happy they're back. I can't wait to see the Pats run out of the tunnel with those on. They're sharp. They're beautiful.
From red uniforms to a sort of red carpet moment. We couldn't forget about Kimberly and her red shoes. Didn't quite go as well for you recently. At the conclusion of a recent NFL Live. What kind of shoes are those, Kimberly?
Lubes.
Oh, the red bottom shoes. What happened to the bottom? What happened to the rest of that heel?
They're on IR.
If you're a cobbler out there in the New York City area and you want to help Kimberly resurrect those beautiful shoes, hit us up here at NFL Live. We are back tomorrow. Enjoy the end.